All right, today we're going to, I'm going to do a couple Christmas messages. One of them's today, and next one's, of course, will be next Sunday. And what the Lord kind of laid on my heart is something kind of different. I've never really talked about this before, but the big ask is the name of the message, the big ask. Something about that is sometimes God wants us to ask Him for big things, but then also sometimes God wants to ask us to do big things. So it kind of works both ways. Now, have you ever had someone ask you for something big in your life? And like, I need a kidney big? I've never had something that big in my life, really. But you know, some people have. You know, we all get asked to do favors. I've always had a truck since 1978. And back in when I was younger and when I was in my 20s, of course, a lot of single people are transient. They move from place to place all the time. I always got asked to help move, you know, because I had a truck. You know, I remember that. You know, some people ask, could you do me a favor, like let the dog out or pick my kid up from school? But some big things that sometimes people get asked sometimes is, you know, would you marry me? That's kind of a big ask, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, would you marry me and what all that entails? Because that's a big decision. Also, you know, could you take my child and be the guardian if I die? We was asked that one time. I mean, that was kind of... it floored us a little bit. They would even, you know, think of us in that way. So that kind of shocked me a little bit. You know, also, could you watch my dog? That's a big one for me. I don't know. I like dogs, but I don't know. I don't dig, you know, watching them all the time. Also, a big ask, could you be a surrogate mother? I never would be asked that, but I mean, some people could, right? You know, could you do that? So all these things are big asks, you know, that we go through. And we're going to look at two big asks today. The first one I've never noticed, and I've read through the Bible ever since 1985 every year. And this aspect of this really stuck out to me. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10 to 14. And this is one of the major prophecies in the Old Testament that was foretelling of the virgin birth and how important the virgin birth is. And how, as Christians, you know, that's really one of the cornerstones of our faith, because if Jesus was born just of regular people, then, you know, he would have had a sin nature. So that's why we have to, you know, hold true to the virgin birth. Well, it starts in verse 10, it says in Isaiah, "Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord, your God, and make it as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men? Then you will try the patience of my God as well. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Emmanuel, God, with us. We thank you we're not alone in this world, but you're with us every step of the way. Lord God, I take authority over any distraction or disturbance, anything that tries to hinder the flow of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here today. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation as I yield to the gift you put in me, Lord, and I just give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to look here first at a sign from God. Now, this sign... and what they do sometimes, or a lot of times when we see a sign from God, it increases our faith. Because we go through a world, and it's challenging from time to time. It's the long haul. And we go through different battles and different skirmishes. And what happened here, King Ahaz, he was the king in Jerusalem, and he had been defeated already two separate times by two different armies. Now, these two armies were going to gang up and go against him. That just didn't seem fair. Have you ever felt ganged up in life? Have you ever felt like things just weren't going your way? And that's what he was feeling like, because sometimes, you know, we can get overwhelmed. You know, a lot of things that come into, it's a busy time of life right now. You know, the holiday season and everything going on, and we get drugged this way and that way, and then all of a sudden some attack comes. And then we just kind of feel overwhelmed. Maybe our marriage isn't where it needs to be. Maybe there's a lot of different situations at work and different things, a lot of pressures, maybe financial pressures. So all these things come against us. And when that happens, sometimes we can succumb to making a bad decision. And see, that's what Isaiah was coming to challenge Ahaz about, because Ahaz was considering making a covenant are going into league with Assyria. Assyria was a big army, and the other two armies that had already kicked Ahaz around, they were concerned about Assyria, so they were kind of concerned that Israel or Judah was going to align with them and then come and fight them. And so that's why this all was kind of coming to pass here. And what I'd never noticed before, or that I remember, is that God asked Ahaz, he says, ask for a sign. Anything. As far as hell to heaven, anything you ask me, I will give you that sign. And Ahaz kind of went all religious about it. He's, oh no, I'm not going to test God. And then the prophet kind of got irritated with him. Because if God asks you to do something and says, you got a blank check here, just ask God, prove me. But Ahaz didn't do it. What would you do if God gave you a blank check? If God came to you one time and said, hey, ask me anything, anything, I will do it for you. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? What would we pick? See, that sign was going to be given to increase his faith so that he wouldn't go off and make a bad decision. And that's something that we need to be aware of. And the idea is that maybe sometimes we're afraid to ask God some things because God let us down. Maybe the fact that Ahaz already got his rear end kicked twice, right? These two kings had already whooped him twice. So after you get beat down enough, you maybe feel like you can't trust God anymore. God, where are you in my situation? And I think we all have probably went through those sort of battles or those sort of doubts, you know, in our life. And they come in. It's just a tactic of the enemy. And it's something that, you know, we need to know. I know a couple months ago, I was probably, that I can remember, ever since I became a Christian for around 30-some years, I was under the most intense spiritual, I guess, attack that I can ever remember in my life. Just overwhelming. Just, you know, if I would have had, if I'd have hung around the wrong people, you know, maybe I would have thrown in the towel. Just gave up, moved on. But I knew that this was an attack from Satan, and it was a test from God to see if I would hold on to him or if I would hold on to things in this world. Whew, I passed that test, you know, and I'm glad I did, because it's just awesome some of the things that I've witnessed God doing lately. I've seen the Holy Spirit show up in a lot of serious situations. Now, this passage here is talking about a virgin shall be with a child. I asked the youth this question last Wednesday a little bit, and I had a really good conversation with them. But what's interesting about this is that Isaiah prophesied this 700 years before Jesus was born. 700 years. That's phenomenal. But see, we know that God is foreknowing, and you know, if God can see 700 years ahead, don't you think God can see tomorrow for you? Don't you think that he can see what's going to happen next week? See, we need to trust in the idea that God is in control of our life. God was in control of this situation. And God knew that he had to redeem mankind, so he did whatever he could to be able to bring this to pass. As I mentioned earlier, if God gave you a blank check, you know, what would you maybe ask? World peace, you know what I'm saying? As all the Miss America people, they do this little wave and say, world peace. Cure for cancer, $1 million, all these things are, you know, kind of good. But what are some things that God would want? There's a scripture that I've always been amazed in Psalms. I think it's chapter 2, verse 8. Or it's 8:2, but I think it's 2:8. It says, ask of me, and I will give you nations. And see, that's what I want us to do today. The reason why Jesus came was to redeem mankind. Not just us, but everybody. He wants to see everybody come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And here he told us, the psalmist said, ask of me and I'll give you nations. How about we ask God, give us Albia. Give us Monroe County. Give us Iowa. You know, give us the, you know, there's a lot of people setting today who don't know what's going to happen to them if they die. But I believe that is something, that's a big ask we can ask God. God, give me these people. I want to see them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ like I did. You know, have a heart for the lost and a passion to be able to see people come out of darkness, you know, into His marvelous light. You know, it's not an imposition for us to ask God for big things. As a matter of fact, I believe that He wants us to do that. That shows how big He is. He loved to see Him, in you know, when He poured out His power, you know, in the book of Exodus on Pharaoh. Because, and really, a lot of people misunderstand that. They think God was kind of mean, you know, about Pharaoh because Pharaoh didn't have a chance. Well, Pharaoh was kind of mean. He started it. He started picking on God's people. And see, what people don't understand, and I want to always throw this in every now and then. You know, we serve a God that honors covenants. See, a covenant is like when you get married and things like this. You enter into a relationship with somebody. Okay, so what had happened here, God had cut a covenant with Abraham years before, maybe 400 years before. And in this covenant, He says, if anybody messes with you, they're messing with Me. And I'm going to take vengeance on them. Well, Pharaoh started to put the children of Israel into slavery and doing all these things and, you know, beating them around and making them make bricks and all these terrible things. And finally, you know, they put up with it for a while. Finally, they cried out to God. See, the reason why we're in some of our problems is because we don't cry out to God quick enough. But when they cried out to God, God sent a deliverer then. That was Moses. And we know the whole story. We're not going to go into that because we're talking about the Christmas story now. But just understand the idea of covenants. It's different than we think. So He wasn't being mean to Pharaoh. Pharaoh opened the door. And when we're in covenant with somebody, God was going to honor that covenant with the children of Israel. And He came into their defense and He set them free. Now I want to look at a New Testament passage which this is talking to. Like I said, this was 700 years later. I mean, it's just amazing the foreknowing of God and how He plans out everything. Okay. The angel said to her, we know that's Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. He will be great, and He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Now here's where we get into the big ask. Now before, remember, God gave the king an opportunity to ask him of something big, remember? So now we're going to look where God asked somebody of something big. See, God is always looking around for a willing and obedient person. He's always looking for somebody like that. And we can be that person. You know, all we have to do is decide to follow Him with our whole heart. And it's amazing just where God can take us. Now, sometimes willing and obedient people are hard to come by. Some might be willing, but not a lot of them are obedient. Obedience means we're going to follow exactly what God says. Now, as I mentioned, you know, sometimes, you know, God wanted the prophet to ask him or to tell the king to ask him for something big. Here, God was asking a little girl, probably 14 years old, probably the most life-changing thing. It is the most life-changing thing that has probably hit mankind, where God was going to become a man. But He needed a willing partner. And everything rode on that decision that young girl made. How many here would like to let a 14-year-old girl make the decision for all mankind? Oh, no. Nobody? You would, Isaiah? No? Okay. See, it's tough. But that's what was going on here. See, God already knows our choice, but He still gives us freedom to choose. God already knows our choices we're going to make, but He gives us that freedom to make those choices. And that's what we need to remember. So God knew, you know, the old saying, I mean, I watch some lawyer shows and stuff, and they say a good lawyer never asks a question unless he knows the answer already. But see, God, He's even more than that. He knew 700 years in advance the girl that He was going to ask, and He knew the answer she was going to make, but He still gave her the choice to make it. I know it's mind-boggling, some of that. But we never can take away free will. God does not predestine, you know, people to do certain things. and they don't have any choice in it. So Mary was confronted with this big decision, and it's probably big, and some of us have been, you know, confronted. I mean, if you've had somebody with health issues or different things going on, there's some big decisions that have to be made. But, you know, their culture was a little different than ours back then. See, she was a virgin, but she was married. I don't want to go into, I might go into this a little more next week. But what it meant is that she was kind of, she was engaged to be married. So she was considered taken in marriage, but they have never been married or slept together yet. So here's the angel coming, Gabriel. And he said, hey, you know, this is this and that's that. And, you know, God wants to, you know, bring Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, how many, God with us is better than God against us, right? Well, she had this choice to make. And she didn't understand it because really, rule of thumb back in the day is that if an angel showed up, a lot of them thought you were going to die. I mean, they just thought it was over. You know, that's the only time they showed up, but that's not the case. But so here she had this choice to make. And if she chose to go ahead and do it, a couple things could happen. Number one, she could be stoned to death because she got pregnant out of wedlock. And technically, Joseph would have thrown the first stone because she was defiled. That's how they considered it then. Secondly, she maybe didn't know how Joseph would respond. I don't know how, you know, if you've been in a relationship with somebody, but I don't know, how would you go, men, if you're betrothed that you're going to be married to and you've never slept together and all of a sudden they said, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant. Hey, don't worry about it, though. It's God's baby. You know, wouldn't that, whoa. You go, yeah, right. What you smoking? You know, what kind of fool do you think I am? You know, all these things. But, you know, God also foreknew what kind of man Joseph was going to be. Because Joseph was, what he did, instead of choosing to take her out and put her to death, he was a good man, the Bible says. He was going to divorce her secretly and just let her go and live her life in her own little way. And he was going to move on. And that was good. But then God stepped in again. God came to Joseph in a dream and told him, hey, it's okay. It's my baby. I'm just paraphrasing here, people, for sake of time. But go ahead and marry Mary. Marry Mary. Isn't that cool? Marry Mary. Right? So they chose, he chose to obey God also, even facing all the humility of all the people in the village there and stuff, and his own family, they shunned him. They shunned him. That's why Joseph and Mary was making that journey to Bethlehem alone. They usually traveled with the family. But they were outcasts because of that one decision to be obedient to God. And sometimes that happens. You know, when God speaks something to you, not everybody's going to get it. Not everybody's going to understand it. A lot of times it's our closest people in our life, our family and friends, other ones who's going to try to step in and talk us out of it. You know, what do you mean? I remember when I first got saved and, you know, I was radically saved. I just did a complete turnabout. Then people were worried about me. They thought I was crazy, you know, because I used to do this and now I don't want to do that no more. Now I'm just doing this. And, you know, those kind of things just make a difference. And, you know, I don't know what you would feel like if God came to you and asked you that life-changing decision and we had to walk in Mary's shoes, or I mean Mary's sandals, right? What choice would we have made if God confronts us with that sort of thing, you know? But it's easy because God, when he's on our side, we can make those decisions. That's what helped. Once we make the decision to be obedient, God shows up. You know, God may leave us hanging there a little bit until the decision is made. And here's what happened. And my last point is talking about Holy Spirit power. Because we know that we're not alone. We're not alone in what we do down here. And I know once you make that hard decision, I know some hard decisions in my life, I wrestled with them. You know, like Jacob was wrestling with the angel. You know, you're wrestling. You're just tore up inside. You know, what do I do? How do I act? Well, how do I respond to this situation? But once you make that decision, The Bible says the Holy Spirit then overshadowed her. And that's when she became pregnant. I want us to know that once we make that decision to be obedient, the Holy Spirit will overshadow us in our life and will come into our life and remind us we're not alone in this endeavor, in this problem, all these things that we have to face in life, if we'll just be obedient to Him. To me, the greater our sensitivity to God's leading, the greater is our potential to lead. You know, I believe that God leads us by the Spirit of God. I believe the Holy Spirit is real. And I don't believe the Holy Spirit is here just for pastors and preachers or whoever does that sort of thing. I believe the Holy Spirit is there for us every day of our life. You know, you have those divine appointments and those divine interventions in your life where God is starting to come in. He's starting to move in your life and He's starting to orchestrate some things and things start to fit together. But all we have to do is make sure that we're on God's side and on God's plan. You know, I want to remind us that God will never ask you to do something that He couldn't do through you. I know most of the great things that I've ever done in my life is way beyond my pay grade. But it was Him that's in me. It's the one that I allow and I submit to and I yield to and I allow the Holy Spirit to work through me, and then we start to see it. As I mentioned, God has a plan. Isaiah prophesied it 700 years in advance. Our country is so young. I mean, we're, you know, look at the mess we're in just in a few hundred years. You know, could you imagine something, what our country, I mean, I'm hoping for the best, but 700 years, you know, from the time our country started, I mean, I don't know. But see, God's in control, though. We have to remember that. God's the one who can see the future. He's the one who's called things to come into existence. All He's looking for is people that love Him. You know, we wonder, I don't know if you've ever wondered this, but, you know, we kind of wonder, did I make the right decision? Did I make the right choice? You know, especially after you make the choice. How many's had buyer's remorse after you buy a new car or something or anything? You know, you buy it and then you're driving home about a day later, you're going, oh, I wonder if I made the right choice. Well, if we're believing that we're led by God's Spirit, we're always going to be in plan A because God never had a plan B. He's never had a plan B. He's always had plan A. Plan A was Jesus coming to redeem man from mankind, from all the sins that we are endeavored in. And then as we choose to follow Him, I mean, God knows the plans that we're going to make and what we're going to choose. We just got to say, God, I mean, this is what I do. God, don't let me miss You. I ask that, Lord Jesus, You be my good shepherd. And help me not to hear the voice of a stranger. Because in John 10, it tells you about that, how the sheep won't listen to the voice of a stranger. I mean, to me, sheep are stupid. We were cattle people, like I've always said. We raise cattle. You know, sheep were kind of dumb, in my opinion. But a sheep was always smart enough, when he heard his shepherd, he only followed him. He wouldn't follow the voice of a stranger. So we can learn that from a sheep. So just learn to only to follow the voice of the Lord. And as we do this, the bigger the ask that God has on our life, I believe, is the bigger the blessing. So in closing, I just want to say, don't let fear hold you back from God working a miracle through you. I believe there's people here today that God is knocking on the door of their heart, and He's maybe wanting them to maybe step out and to want to do some things for God's glory. All you have to do is be obedient. Maybe God's calling you to maybe teach a class or pitch in and help here at the church or maybe do some sort of outreach. And maybe you're holding back because you're not sure. You can never go wrong helping people. I would rather have God tell me to stop helping people than God to tell me to start helping people. You know what I mean? So whatever we can do. I had somebody tell me they felt, you know, I feel that God wants me to do something big. I said, cool. But I don't know what it is. I said, well, God will show you. So what are you doing now? Nothing. What do you think? Maybe you could start helping one person? And then maybe it'll grow. They haven't stepped out yet. But I believe, you know, if we get to the mindset that all we got to do, you know, it's easier for God to direct us when we're moving. So I just want to challenge, say we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and reveals some things to us before we dismiss here. Let's pray.